97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Hello and welcome into the podcast exclusive of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here with producer Carl Middleman.
Hello.
My partner, Bo Matthews. Bo, you there?
Present.
All right.
Yep, present.
And continuing our discussion from this weekend's show is our friends from Osage County Guns, John Dawson and Jake Fair. Fellas, thanks for putting a little overtime with us. How's it going?
Great. Yeah, we appreciate the opportunity to come on, and always love to chat, so happy to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. Always great to talk with you guys. If you missed anything from the show this weekend, you've already downloaded this podcast. You may as well download the show podcast as well if you haven't already. We talked to Joe and John on that, or Jake and John on that show.
Joe and John's
there used to be a show on a radio station that I worked at called Joe and John, and so when I try to say John and Jake, I mess it up sometimes. I apologize. We also talked to Virginia Caruda and, of course, Aaron Tarlow on the show this week. Great show, so make sure you go back and check that out. One of the things that I mentioned on the show that I wanted to talk to you guys about here on the podcast exclusive is a question that I remember getting a lot last year this time, and I'm getting a lot of people asking me about it again this year, especially after 2020 when the gun industry has been so hot. People have asked me how they can give somebody in their family that they know likes guns a gun for Christmas. Is that even possible? Is that something that you can do? I think I know the answer, but I'm not gonna guess. I'll let you guys explain it. I'm sure that's a question that you guys get there in the shop as well. If somebody wants to give a firearm for a Christmas present, is that even possible? And if so, how do you do it?
Yeah, so you know, it's actually funny because when I was very young in the industry, and I guess I would say maybe cutting my teeth, this is something that I experienced firsthand at our old retail store, because we had a pretty strict policy regarding what we might have perceived to be a straw purchase. And so, you know, we had some customers coming in and were wanting to buy them as gifts. You know,
John, can you explain that, what a straw purchase is? Can you explain what that concern is there?
Yeah. So a straw purchase is where an individual would purchase a firearm on behalf of somebody else. Presumably the other person would be restricted from buying and owning, and so the person, a third party, is making that purchase, you know, essentially like as a proxy for them, and their intent is to buy it and then deliver it to the restricted individual, you know, which is a you know, against the law, and you know, it'd be a felony. So I had an individual come in, and at that time, this is, you know, going back close to 10 years, and said, you know, he wanted to buy it as a gift. And I said, sorry, you know, it's against our policy. And we went around and around, and I read the regs, and I was still not really comfortable. So I went ahead and just called the ATF and verified and, you know, confirmed it technically is legal. It can be purchased as a gift. And it is very common practice, you know, but there are, you know, always some considerations when doing that. So when you're filling out the form, you are technically buying it for yourself and you're later gifting it. A few things to keep in mind, though, are, you know, a state of residence, because you really shouldn't be gifting a firearm to somebody who does not reside in the same state. Mm-hmm. Jake maybe would elaborate a little bit more, but I believe it's similar to the you know, private party transaction in Missouri, where, you know, you're basically transferring ownership. You couldn't sell a handgun to somebody privately that resides in another state. So it's not advised if the person isn't a resident of the same state.
Yeah.
So does the let me ask you about the gun show, you know, parking lot deals that go down. Is that just happens? That has nothing to do with what you're talking about?
Well, it's been labeled different things. Some people call it a gun show loophole.
We discussed that a little bit in the show, actually, this past week, how that term is not what a lot of people think it is,
correct,
and it doesn't exist at the level that many people think it is. But, yeah, Jake, please expand on that.
Well, so
there's a lot of different gray areas around it. It is not illegal to sell a firearm private party.
Mm-hmm.
If I own a firearm and John wants it more than I do, I legally can sell it to John. There's no problems with that. That is a different type of scenario. The seller needs to do their due diligence to make sure that they're following the guidelines, meaning the person's not a prohibited person from buying a firearm. They're not a felon. They're of age. And then also that the firearm that the person is buying isn't restricted in any way, shape, and form somewhere, somehow, some way. So there's some due diligence on there. And then if you take the proper records, i.e., I'm going to take a copy of John's driver's license and write it down or record it or take a picture of it to have somewhat of a bill of sale.
Transfer. Yeah.
Right. Because at some point, if that gun gets stolen or something happens to it, they're going to come, you know, they're going to track that gun all the way to who bought it from the dealer. And then you're going to want to be able to say, I sold it to so-and-so, or if it was truly stolen, I filed a replace report and it was stolen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the difference there between buying a gun as a gift, you're buying it from a dealer, you're doing the background check for it. You can do that legally. I can buy John, you know, I love John to death. Hey, Merry Christmas, here's a gun. By the way, I accept all guns, Christmas gifts.
We all do.
I'm going to buy John a gun. I can go buy the gun as long as I am gifting it and I am not receiving anything in return. Work, credit, dollars, brownies, whatever the case may be, I'm not getting paid back for that firearm, and John is not illegal from purchasing his own firearm.
Right. Yep.
So Jake, it's not something where Jake is buying it on my behalf.
I'm flat out just buying it because I like John and he should have a gun.
Right.
How do you like me? Do you like me okay?
Go ahead,
John.
You know, for a wife to buy the husband a firearm, that's, I think, maybe the most common thing that we see in terms of where there is gifting involved.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And we've had it come up in other situations, you know, where it's it is still family. And even, you know, as a gift, you know, we like and encourage the use of gift cards. For a lot of reasons. Number one, you know, just some people are very particular and they like certain firearms and they dislike others. And there's so many similar models, you can accidentally buy the wrong one. And, you know, once it's been transferred and, you know, taken out of the building, it's no longer technically new. So, you know, from the perspective of a return, it's not just like returning a, you know, a Game Boy or
double bag.
Yeah.
So it's not like buying a pair of shoes and returning them. Mm-hmm. But then there's also, you know, the consideration of liability. And I can't say that I've encountered a situation with one of our customers, but, you know, there's always the possibility that, you know, the firearm is legally purchased and legally gifted, and that firearm is used, you know, legally or not. There's civil liability. You know, I suppose maybe a similar situation that's very public right now is the Wisconsin situation. Kyle, I think his Rittenhouse, I think was maybe legally gifted that gun, or I think he either was gifted, but they're trying to charge the person he obtained it from with you know, felony. And so that may have been a legal transaction between the two, or may have been a gift. I can't remember the exact circumstances. However, you know, that individual bought the firearm from, you know, likely a gun store, and then it was transferred, you know, one way or the other to Kyle, and Kyle used it, and now, you know, there's attempted, you know, felony charges. I think he was arrested.
So you want to make, he's been charged on all that stuff. So like you're saying, you want to do everything you can to cover not only the person, you know, that you may be trying to get a gift for, but yourself. And I always recommend that gift card idea. You know, like, if you know the type of gun or maybe even the specific gun that you're the person that you're buying for wants, go out to Osage County Guns, find out how much that gun costs, and then buy a gift card that covers the cost, and then say,
yeah,
they have it. Even I'm sure you guys would even put it on hold and things, you know, absolutely, something like that.
Yep. I was just going to offer that. Yep. We absolutely will.
Yeah.
It is really the cleanest and easiest way to do it.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, and I want to interject here that several years ago, I took my then-girlfriend out shooting. Seemed like she enjoyed it, but unless your the love of your life is like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to get this gun, probably don't want to buy him a firearm, because I bought my wife a Walther P-22. I thought this is the perfect size for all that stuff. You know what? She'd have probably been less, well, she wasn't mad, but she was just like, eh, okay. Like, opened it up, put it to the side. I'm like, well, okay, guess what? I just bought myself a Christmas present for myself.
Yeah.
Gift card.
Unless you know exactly what they want, because, you know, it's like any other, it's like any other big purchase that somebody makes. You want exactly what you want. So,
but she is, hey, let me just
better to get that. She, yeah.
Go ahead. She is a badass because she bought me a judge.
The judge is sweet. Yeah, the judge is sweet. So, yeah, I recommend do the gift card thing. As you guys said, I think that's probably the cleanest, kind of safest way to do it. And go out there to Osage County Guns. And another perfect thing to buy for Christmas is the Second Amendment Radio t-shirt. So make sure you put on a couple extra bucks on the gift card so they can get the Second Amendment Radio t-shirt while they're out there at Osage County Guns. It's the only place you can get it. And boy, I can't think of a better Christmas present
than that. Or just buy one
yourself. Exactly.
And then for your entire family.
I wanted to ask you guys, reflecting back on 2020, I know it's been a crazy year. Couldn't have predicted all the things that happened. Was there any particular trend in 2020, looking back, that it seemed was very popular across the board, or maybe even like a trend that surprised you guys? Like, what was the, looking back at 2020, what was the, was there a hot item or style or anything like that? Or was it just scatterbrained?
Just anything I can get.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, with the way that the sales, you know, the demand was so crazy that it was hard to see patterns almost. I mean, you can't make rhyme or reason that everything sold and has been selling so fast. There's definitely pockets where you see like massive demand and you have a lot of customers asking for something and there's like no supply. That's pretty common on a number of brands. And obviously with us, Sig Sauer, it's our, I would say, kind of our flagship brand. Mm-hmm. We see, you know, a lot of inquiries for different Sig products, and they've released some limited edition models that people are really, you know, wanting to get their hands on. There's just so little availability. But just across the board, it's just been crazy.
I would say 9mm is the answer.
Yeah.
If it takes it, if it uses it, and if you can get it, 9mm, 5.56, 300 blackout. But I say there was a big trend there for a while where, you know, the 9mm AR, you know, pistol caliber carbine style firearms sold okay. But man, they really ramped it up during this 2020, and you can't keep them in stock. If it's a 9mm AR little pistol, they're gone instantly.
How about reloading supplies? Do you guys sell those?
You know, we don't do a whole lot of the business in the reloading supplies, but that has been just absolutely savaged and is gone. In fact, the primers are the biggest issue right now. Even for manufacturers, primers are in hard demand and short supply. And the reloading business is fantastic, and I would encourage anybody that shoots a lot and wants to be able to shoot a lot to take some time and study and start reloading. Because it's a great thing to learn. It actually kind of calms me down, and it's a good time. And the cost savings are exponentially fantastic. I can load 100 rounds for less than I can buy two boxes of factory ammo. So, which would be 40
rounds.
Is
it dangerous doing it, though? I mean, with the gunpowder and stuff, is it dangerous to the individual?
If you're only learning on YouTube. Right, if you keep a clean area, it's about, I mean, you're following a recipe, right? So if you blow up your oven making brownies, then you'll blow yourself up making ammo.
Jake, we can always rely on you for the analogies.
It's like anything else. It's, you know, get the education. Learn what you're, make sure you're doing it right. Don't half-ass it or wing it. But, if you get the proper training and you know what you're doing, you're completely safe.
I have a friend that does it every time. He's a firefighter, and he makes his own bullets, and he loves doing it. He says, and he's got his own area in the house, and that's the area for making his own bullets.
It's kind of like hunters that are like our friend Tim Shelsvik, who is obsessed with bow hunting and not interested in in rifle hunting at all, the guys that I know that reload,
they're
obsessed with it. Mm-hmm. Like they would never have it any other way.
It's cheaper.
Yeah, okay. if they do it, the people that I know that do it are into it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm a big fly fisherman. Same thing with tying flies, right?
Right, exactly.
You have the ability to sit down, tie your own fly, make your own patterns, make them, tweak them. Same thing with reloading. You're able to make your own load that really works in your rifle. Because just factory ammo sometimes doesn't always give you the best groups. But if you're able to tweak it a little bit, you're able to, you know, I've got a lot of rifles that were okay, but are absolutely fantastic once I find the right load and I make it.
Yeah. So we...
Hey, guys, can I...
Go, Bo. Sorry. Yeah.
No, can I just ask you, can you just throw a kind of maybe a, I don't know if there's a blanket statement, but a buddy of mine was out shooting on his property or went to go shooting and his ammo was really old and he was so bummed because it wasn't firing. And I think they were 22s. But is there a shelf life or a best way, way to store, bullets? I mean,
know when they're bad. Like, is there a way to
that out the hard way.
Sure, yeah. Yeah,
you can see it. So if the case of your ammo, right, the brass case that it sits in, or steel, or aluminum, whatever, if it's really, really, really discolored, then it may be questionable. Number one, number two, as long as you keep it in a controlled environment, not a basement that has no AC or airflow, no attic that swing garage, the moisture, it's like everything else. As long as the humidity is level and the temperatures are stable, I mean, ammo can last a really long time,
like batteries,
20-30 years, but it depends on how you store it, and it also depends on the quality of the ammo when you buy it.
Yeah, there's also new ammo right off the shelf that'll do that.
There are some
right. So we look back at 2020, looking forward to 2021. We mentioned on the show that I was a little surprised to hear this, but when we were talking on the show this weekend, you guys said that 2020 hasn't really slowed down. Even coming to the end of the year here, the pressure on the firearms industry and the ammo industry and everything is been pretty consistent all the way through and hasn't slowed down. So as we go into 2021, do you guys have any sense of how long you think that's going to last, and then what's going to happen? You know, what is on the other side? Do you have any guess? And then I also know that you guys have some news about 2021. You guys are our official, last year you were our official SHOT Show correspondent. So, yeah, as we look forward to 2021, what do you guys expect, and what do we already know about some changes that are in store? Well,
so SHOT Show was canceled, and we heard some rumblings months ago that it was going to happen, and we actually canceled all of our reservations about 2 months ago because we were pretty confident it was done. But they canceled it. The liability is obviously a big deal, and then questions of whether or not the state, Las Vegas and Nevada, will have restrictions or allow it. And even if they did allow it, the expectation was that that you really weren't going to be able to handle anything. Those rooms are crowded. The show floor is crowded. You're talking 20,000-30,000 people in a room, and sometimes you're a foot, a half foot away, bumped into people in the aisles. So it was no surprise. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be some online stuff, some seminars and videos, but I don't think I'll even turn them on. what we'll see is something like maybe we've seen from auto manufacturers and others, like Apple even, where each manufacturer will have releases, and they'll either release videos or press releases and photos. So the new products will trickle out. But I'm not confident that we will see, a huge array of new product this year. I think that all the manufacturers are so focused on mass production and keeping their production numbers high that I don't think that they're really going to reach out and throw a lot of new product into R&D, just because, new products can equate to recalls or problems and slow production and shift focus.
Yeah.
So I think what we're going to see is the manufacturers attempting to produce as much as they can, as fast as they can.
Yeah, probably more worried about catching up than release anything new.
Yeah,
And so that's absolutely right. And obviously these manufacturers are competing with one another, because as long as there's a shortage across the board, whoever can produce is going to get the sales. So we're going to, we're going to do the best we can to keep large orders in place and leverage our relationships. But the other thing, which we've already seen in the ammo side of this, 2020 year, we're seeing it now, the posturing is taking place from the manufacturers and price increases are coming. So Jake had some discussions just yesterday with one brand, one manufacturer, and on their handguns, I think he mentioned, was it 11%? So handguns on that one brand are going to take an 11% price increase. That's one brand. That's a lot.
Yeah,
that's a big increase.
No kidding.
Let me jump in here too about the store. I want to back up just real quick about people that do reload. Probably the main reason I don't is I don't want to do squats to pick up all the shell casings. So do you guys offer? I'm lazy. Do you guys offer brass catchers or shell catchers?
Yeah, we've got a few brass catchers for certain firearms that that work well. If you want me to help you in your not wanting to fulfill your squat or steps requirements for the day, I can turn you on to, there's a couple cool items out there that are like a rake that you literally just run over the ground and it picks your brass up for you and bundles it. Or if you plan ahead, just put a tarp down and shoot over the tarp and then it catches all your brass.
Oh, okay.
We're not
making you money selling tarps. We need to sell brass catchers.
We do sell some brass catchers, obviously. We try to sell everything we can, but
we can get a special edition brass tarp for you, yes. But it'll be a limited edition, and those tend to drive a premium.
Right.
You suck.
Guys, before
we can sign it, it'll be numbered.
Yeah, there you
one
go.
One.
Put the logo.
I got a number for you, buddy.
Yeah, put the Second Amendment Radio logo on there, and we'll get in on the action too. Before we wrap this up, guys, remind folks how they can find you on the internet, social media, and of course, get out there to the store physically. Are you guys are you guys going to be open all the way through the end of the year? Do you have any taking any days off for the holidays? If people are going to be out there shopping, when's the best time to do so?
Yeah, so we're going to take a slightly extended Christmas holiday this year. So we'll be closed Christmas Eve and then Christmas Day and the weekend. So we'll reopen on, I believe that'll be Monday the 28th, if my memory is correct. So we'll be open, every day now through December 23rd, 7 days a week. And then 24th we're closed, 25th, 26th, and 27th.
Gotcha.
And then we'll be back open Monday of New Year's week. New Year's Eve, we're going to be closing around noon and close New Year's Day. But then back on January 2nd, we're back to open 7 days a week.
Great stuff.
Well, happy holidays and congratulations on a phenomenal year for
absolutely,
you guys.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for everything you've done for this show. And I hope we continue to, you can't be our SHOT Show correspondent this year, but I hope we continue to have you on and be a big part of the show all through next year as well. If people want to get out there, remind folks about the website and how they can get to the store.
Yeah, visit us at osagecountyguns.com. You can Google it, it's easy. And if you use Google, you'll see all of our social media accounts probably right behind our website. We're right on Highway 70 or Interstate 70, just past Wentzville. So if you're coming from St. Charles, you'll take the right city exit. It's about maybe 30 minutes from St. Charles and 50 minutes from downtown St. Louis. So it's not a hard drive, and it's hard to miss us. Once you're close.
No, it's right there off the highway. You can see it clearly from the interstate. And best thing about Osage County Guns, in my opinion, is just simply the size. You guys are it's a huge store. So even when there's a smaller selection than usual, it's still a pretty huge selection just because of the size of the store. It's awesome. So we appreciate, like I said, everything you guys do. John Dawson, Jake Fair from Osage County Guns. Thanks a lot, guys, for being a part of the podcast exclusive this week.
Thanks, guys. Merry Christmas.
Back at you. Merry Christmas.
You too.
All right, we got to wrap this up. Thank you so much for listening. Once again, if you haven't downloaded the radio show's podcast from this week, please do so. We always appreciate all of your support. And if you know anybody who likes to hear these discussions about the Second Amendment and gun news and hunting and fishing and camping and all of those things, please share our podcast with those folks as well. For our producer, Carl Mittleman, and my partner, Bo Matthews, I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.